Hey there, and welcome to a new episode of Stock Break, your weekly opportunity to dive into public companies as we break down their business activity, fundamentals, and potential value. I'm Josh Gilbert, market analyst at eToro, and let's get into it. Please remember that this podcast is intended for educational and informational purposes only. Stay tuned for additional disclosures at the end of today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Stock Break with me, Josh Gilbert. Today, we're going to be analyzing Meta, or as you may know it better, Facebook, the company that revolutionized the way we connect and communicate online. So if you're keen to know more about this social network giant, then stay with us throughout this episode. But before we get started, a quick reminder to subscribe to our channel, click on the bell, and don't miss any updates on the latest news. And of course, if there is any company that you want us to break down, then let us know in the comments because we can do it for you. And if you are listening to this in podcast format and would like to watch along with the presentation, there is a link in the bio and you can head over to YouTube to watch. And a quick reminder that this presentation is for educational purposes only and should not be taken as investment advice, personal recommendation, or an offer of or solicitation to buy or sell any financial instruments. So on to Meta. The company, as I say, that is better known as Facebook, it's changed its name over that time, it's changed its vision, but it is the most used social network in the world. The company owns and operates Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and WhatsApp, among other products and services. And it is part of the Magnificent Seven, the group of technology companies that is dominating Wall Street. It has generated extraordinary returns for investors just recently. It's jumped over 400% from the lows that it saw in October 2022, taking out new highs in that time. We're going to take you through how that happened, what are the challenges and the opportunities ahead, and above all, if it's still worth investing in this company. So stick around till the end when we'll tell you exactly all you need to know. So we're going to have a look at some key history and facts to start us off. Facebook actually turned 20 in February, so a happy birthday to Facebook, a belated happy birthday. But it actually all began back in 2003 when Mark Zuckerberg, who was a Harvard student at the time, created a site called FaceMash. The site allowed you to compare photos of two students and choose who was more attractive. It was a success, but it had a few hiccups. Zuckerberg was accused of violating the security, copyright, and privacy of students. The site was closed after a few days, and Zuckerberg was actually nearly expelled from Harvard at the time. Zuckerberg, though, he didn't give up, and in 2004, he launched a new project called The Facebook. It was a site where students could create a profile, they could add friends, share photos, and messages. It was an immediate success amongst Harvard students, and then it began to expand to other universities. Success, though, attracted a lot of attention from investors and entrepreneurs, including the likes of Napster co-founder Sean Parker and Peter Thiel, who was the co-founder of PayPal and is now the CEO of Palantir. Thanks to their funding, the Facebook could grow even further. It reached new users and continued to expand. If you would like to know more about its journey, there's a movie called The Social Network, and it goes through the history of Facebook, and I would certainly recommend watching that. In 2005, the Facebook changed its name to just Facebook, and it purchased the domain facebook.com. The site opened to the public in 2006 and became accessible to anyone over the age of 13 with an email address. Facebook then teamed up with Microsoft and it invested $250 million and obtained the right to show advertisements on Facebook. Then in 2007, the company became profitable and received numerous awards and recognition. Then in 2008, it reached a key milestone, 100 million users, and established itself as one of the key leaders in the technology sector. And then in 2012, the company went public with its IPO. It actually was one of the largest IPOs in history. That has led Zuckerberg to be one of the richest men in the world today. So onto its business timeline. And before actually going public in April of 2012, Facebook actually made a very historic acquisition, which is now arguably probably one of the greatest acquisitions in company history. They acquired Instagram for $1 billion, which was, as I say, a bit of a masterstroke by Zuckerberg, which has ultimately kept competition at an arm's length for many, many years. And then, as I say, it listed in May 2012 with a valuation of $104 $1 billion. Then after that, more acquisitions came. So we had WhatsApp, again, another fantastic acquisition for $19 billion in 2014. And then Oculus for $2 billion in the same year, which paved the way towards the metaverse. Then in 2016, Zuckerberg announced a partnership between Oculus and Samsung, anticipating the concept of the metaverse. But then came the Cambridge Analytica scandal, which caused huge damage to the brand, and it was a clear loss of public trust. And I think it's fair to say that Facebook has always struggled to sort of really come back from that scandal. But in 2021, the change came. Facebook became Meta Platforms, aiming to build the metaverse and start again, a new name and a new mission. But massive investments in the metaverse and growing competition put the company in crisis. In 2023, saw the first decline in daily users and a significant reduction in their headcount. And this ultimately signaled the need for efficiency. And that was the start of it, was the reduction in its workforce. So the year of efficiency was born. After overspending, essentially Zuckerberg locked the company down, cut costs, massively. And this actually proved to be a really strong move from Zuckerberg. And it was the springboard for the stock to move to new heights. Then in 2023, it launched its newest venture, Threads. It was a new social platform with over 100 million new users in 5 days. It was essentially Meta's take on Twitter or X. So now we're going to have a look at the fundamentals of the business, a bit of a look into the balance sheet and some numbers. So firstly, its business model. So Meta's business model is divided into two main segments. We have the family of apps, which includes Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, WhatsApp, etc. And then we have Reality Labs, which is its metaverse push. Currently, 99% of Meta's revenue comes from selling advertising space on those family of apps. Essentially, this is the heart of the business model when it basically generates all of its revenue. Then we have Reality Labs. That contributes revenue through the sale of hardware and content products. It has had a decent quarter just recently, but there is a lack of continuous revenue growth over the period for Reality Labs. And the business still fails to translate its sales revenue into profits. And actually, we'll get onto that in a little bit, but we've continued to see a negative trend over time, and that has weighed on the business pretty significantly over the last couple of years. So now we're going to have a look at some key numbers, which is, in my view, the active users. And over the years, Meta has continued to experience strong growth in the number of monthly active users, or also known as MAUs, and daily active users known as DAUs. So from 2017 to 2023, monthly active users grew from 2 billion to 3 billion, whilst daily users went from 1.4 billion to 2.1 billion. That is a number I don't think can be underestimated. That is huge, huge growth and just points to the power that Facebook has. But it is important to note that we did have a correction in the fourth quarter of 2021. Monthly active users and daily active users actually corrected. And that sort of brought along concerns about competition in the sector. But that was short-lived. The platform promptly passed through that phase, demonstrating its resilience and ability to adapt to challenges over time. So I have a quick look at the numbers. Just recently, Facebook's daily active users grew 6% to 2.11 billion. And then Facebook's monthly active users grew 3% year over year to 3.7 billion or 3.07 billion, I should say. So to put Facebook's growth in context, it actually surpassed Snap, which saw plus 8 million and Pinterest plus 16 million users additions in the same quarter. So I think that speaks volume about the company's, continuous appeal to, the audience that it is attracting, younger users, but also keeping users within the ecosystem as well. Again, this has remained high over time. And I think really what it shows us is that user involvement is still there. And we basically continue to see users coming back to the platform even after that blip that I mentioned in 2021. So the next key number is average revenue per user. So the growth of Meta's users has translated into a significant increase in average revenue per user, or ARPU. Over time, Meta's average revenue per user showed constant growth, growing from $7.37 in the fourth quarter of 2018 to $13.12 in the fourth quarter of 2023. This growth was essentially starting from the first quarter of 2023. So again, they've continued to see growth in this area, and this is a key area for the business. Again, this is how they make their money. And you know, that growth in users is really important, but also they want to be sort of seeing more revenue per each user that it has on the platform. And I think this growth highlights the improvement in profitability for the platform, and it suggests that essentially they have great strategies to monetize their users. We do see some seasonal variations. We do tend to get a big increase in the fourth quarter of each year. This is obviously a holiday season, and it is a period when companies tend to increase their advertising spends. So the next sector we're going to look at are some key metrics for Meta. Revenue has started to grow again after that correction during 2022. And we started to see the gap closing again. So ultimately, we've got net profits, which on the presentation is our green line, is now exceeding operating expenses, which is the blue line on the presentation. So this marks the end of a phase where we saw excessive spending for the Metaverse venture, which actually spooked investors. So now we're actually seeing net profits on the rise, and we're seeing revenue on the rise once again. Another key metric to look at is margins. This is some more data here, and again, another positive trend, because gross margins essentially have grown again after that little blip, and operating margins have grown as well. So basically what we're seeing here is a return of normality, I would say, to margins. A bit of a relief, I would say, for investors. And high margins are something that is a big standout for Meta. They have a gross margin of 80%, an operating margin of 41%. And again, there was a drop again in margins in 2021. That was pretty significant and did weigh heavily on the business. But again, starting to now come back to sort of normal levels, still not really at where maybe some may expect it to be. So operating margins still off where we've been in previous years, back into the 2017, 2018. But that leaves us room for further growth. So a quick look to buybacks now. So this is a really crucial aspect, I think, of Meta's platform's growth and ultimately the management's conviction in the business. The company has demonstrated a real commitment to supporting its stock, massive purchases of its own shares, especially in some of the toughest moments. So when we saw that huge sell-off over the last sort of few years, you know, Zuckerberg and his team continue to buy back stock, seeing it ultimately as a great investment. And what this did was not only acted as a confidence boost from the business to investors, and a reminder that the company believes in its business, but it also, you know, sort of reminded shareholders that if the business believes in its own business, then shareholders should too. So ultimately, if we look at some of these purchases that occurred, we sort of saw a lot of purchases between $100 and $300. You know, now we have the stock that is well over, you know, $480. Ultimately, these buys have been financially shrewd and ultimately a very profitable move for the business as well. So let me know what you think about Meta. Is it a company that still interests you? Is it a company that you have on the watch list? Has it maybe run slightly too far for you to get involved? Or do you think that Zuckerberg and his team will continue to innovate in the future? Let us know in the comments. I'd love to know what you think about the business.
So now we're going to move on to the competition and the challenges that Meta faces. Obviously, within the sort of sector, the social sector, the advertising sector, which Meta operates in, competition is obviously a huge factor. Not only does Meta have to deal with, you know, the social side of it from the likes of TikTok, Snapchat, etc., Twitter as well, but also it stems from those advertising companies. So the likes of Amazon, who are in advertising now, Google is probably that biggest name. There's a fight for the advertising budgets that sort of go on. So again, across the realm of Facebook's businesses. They are continuously facing a big battle. And right now, I think a battle is with TikTok. Arguably, TikTok is probably the biggest competitor to Meta right now. Video content continues to sort of grow. Facebook is obviously growing its Reels business alongside that on Instagram as well. So again, really trying to step up what they do to sort of bat off competition. But again, a lot of competition for advertising dollars. And on top of that as well, you know, regulators are on their tail as well. And that I think is a challenge. You know, that comes from how they handle their data, to what is viewed on their platforms. You know, again, a lot of focus on the apps that Facebook own or that Meta own, on again, how they look after their clients and how they handle that data as well. So now we're going to move on to a SWOT analysis. So we're going to have a look at Meta's strengths, their weaknesses, opportunities, and challenges. Try and give you a bit of a clearer overview of the business. So let's start with strengths. Meta, firstly, has a huge user base, billions of people connected across its platforms. It's got great product diversification from social media to instant messaging. And I think that that helps in, you know, basically captivating users' experience when it comes to their digital lives. You know, probably some of the most used apps on our phones, maybe that are owned by Meta, the likes of WhatsApp, the likes of Messenger and Instagram. Meta is also leading in technology innovation. They're investing in products such as VR, obviously the metaverse, and of course, artificial intelligence. And I also think that the business is in a really sweet spot as well of continuing that revenue growth, especially at a time when advertising spend is coming back in a pretty big way at the moment as well, which is a huge win for Meta. Now to have a look at some of the weaknesses. Meta has faced criticism over issues related to privacy and the handling of users' data. And again, I think that raises concerns about transparency. Obviously, the reliance on advertising revenue, I think, exposes the business to obviously those fluctuations when we see advertising spend brought back by companies. And we have seen that in recent years when budgets have been slashed by COVID or whatever that might be. And of course, it is a very competitive industry, as we mentioned. TikTok are fighting for those users. There's only so many people that use social networks in the world. So those competitors are all fighting for the same users. Opportunities. Look, I think Meta has great opportunity to increase the digitalization and the technology adoption. You know, there's plenty to sort of gain from the Reality Labs venture. It hasn't done well so far, but I think it continues to be a source of opportunity when we think about the metaverse in the future. New platforms and apps will continue to be a solid way to grow and keep users integrated. We saw this with Threads last year, 100 million users in 5 days. And users are also shopping more online than ever before. And social plays a huge role in that through influencers. And I think an e-commerce integration to buy through its apps can be a huge opportunity. Keeping within the ecosystem is really, really important. Finally, threats, competition in the tech sector is very intense. New players are constantly emerging and big names can continue to sort of develop new products. Google continue to sort of roll out different advertising benefits that, again, may affect Meta. We've obviously got continued privacy regulations that also will impact how Meta handles users' data. This can be very, very expensive, but can also mean that it's difficult for them to target those users, and marketeers may not want to spend money if they can't target users directly. And also, ultimately, when we think about sort of things like cyber threats, when we think about changing user preferences, all of those things can be a big threat. If we think about how a user engages online now, that may completely change within the next couple of years. So again, it's about staying up to date and it's about keeping, you know, a very good public opinion of what people think about you, especially when they're spending so much time on your platform. So now we're going to have a look at the potential valuation. So firstly, we'll start with what Wall Street thinks. Analysts are pretty much together here, and it is a strong buy. We've got 34 out of 35 Wall Street analysts saying it's a buy, and the average price target over the next 12 months sits about $530, which sits at about a 7% increase from current levels. But the high estimates sit around about $600 a share, so a bit more than about a 20% upside. The low estimates, about $430, which would show about a 12% downside. But I think if we look at that top end, that $600, I think that projects a pretty optimistic view of what could be ahead for Meta in the future coming from those Wall Street gurus. But I think it is important to note that Guru Focus does think that the stock is significantly overvalued, but margins are really strong. And I also don't think that its valuation is, you know, completely exuberant. The forward price earnings ratio is about 25 times earnings. I think that's pretty good. Others, again, may disagree. It's obviously up for debate. But after such a huge performance in the last sort of 18 months, you know, more than 400%, I think it's understandable to see some caution there. But I think, as I said earlier, we've got margins that do have room to still grow. We've sort of got back to normality. We mentioned that earlier. But I still think there's room for those operating margins to grow a little bit further, which could see earnings continue to grow. And ultimately, that may mean that the stock still does have further upside. And I think a key point to sort of really note here is advertising spend is increasing, which moves us on to sort of this next point, which is some catalysts to keep an eye on moving forward. So a couple of things to watch, a few opportunities, the integration of AI and the continued growth in ad spending. So AI growth is just getting started. And I think Meta is in a great position to harness AI in its products. If you don't know, it already has Ray-Ban sunglasses and has an AI tool in that. And it also has an AI tool that it's brought out that helps advertisers as well. AI can help streamline its services and it can improve its video ecosystem, which, as I've mentioned a few times, has been really key at the moment. But I think the focus for investors should be on advertising demand, especially in e-commerce and gaming. I think really we're continuing to see a lot of money being spent by marketeers on advertising at the moment, and that is set to only ramp up into this year, and Meta should benefit, especially the closer that we get to rate cuts as well, which look like they're going to be happening in the middle of 2024. Another opportunity is going to be in e-commerce integration. I mentioned that a moment ago, but ultimately, advertisements on Facebook and Instagram to increase online sales from shop ads is, you know, is massive. The partnership being tested with Amazon at the moment to simplify purchases with Prime, I think represents a significant opportunity for Meta as well. So again, a huge opportunity in my eyes when it comes to the e-commerce integration. You know, if you've used Instagram, you will know that the app is brilliant. You know, you can link products and it will take you to an external page, you know, that company's website to buy the product. If you can stay on the app and purchase within the app, again, that could be huge for the business. Another aspect to look at is that user growth, you know, long Meta's apps, again, continuing to see that steady increase. But I think it's really important to maybe understand how long that momentum can last for, especially as we continue to see social media sort of move forward, as we see the evolution of social media as well. Threads, as I said, looks promising. 130 million active users, which is just 7 months after its launch. But I think from, you know, a social, you know, perspective, I feel that has dropped off slightly, and monetization there is going to require patience. And TikTok is a huge competitor. It's stealing some of Meta's lunch. There's absolutely no doubt about that. So there are risks. But I think if Zuckerberg can get it right, as he has done so many times for Facebook, then there is going to be plenty of opportunities ahead for the business. And finally, we have obviously risks as well from regulators and big tech. So I mentioned it a couple of times throughout here, but realistically, we are going to continue to see the crackdown coming for big tech, this demonopolization from regulators about how much control that these big tech companies have over our everyday lives. And Meta plays a really important part in that as well, in terms of how they handle our data. Obviously, we mentioned that Cambridge Analytica scandal earlier on, and that has tarnished Meta's relationship for many, many years. So anything like that again in the future does pose a huge risk to the business as well. And if we do see any regulators sort of crack down on, you know, how Meta handles data, it's a big impact on ultimately how, you know, Meta can target those users and then ultimately how much advertisers are willing to spend. So a couple of sort of areas to keep an eye on there. I think they're going to be really key over the next sort of couple of months. Any mentions of AI on earnings call will be really key. And I just think the key point here is to keep an eye on that advertising spend, which we believe is going to continue to move forward. So that's it. Thank you everyone for listening. If you found this episode useful, don't forget to like and maybe send it to a friend. So let me know if you think Meta will keep taking off in 2024. It has lots of strong catalysts, I think, to sort of keep it moving forward. But as always, there are those risks in the background. So let me know if you've got it on your watch list. And of course, a reminder to let me know if there's a stock you are interested in and we'll break it down. Thanks for watching. See you next time.
You have been listening to Digest and Invest by eToro. For more information, use eToro.com. This podcast is for information and education purposes only and should not be taken as investment advice, a personal recommendation, or an offer of or solicitation to buy or sell any financial instruments. This material has been prepared without taking into account any particular recipient's investment objectives or financial situation and has not been prepared in accordance with the legal and regulatory requirements to promote independent research. Past performance is not an indication of future results.